And tonight I've titled the message, Help for Today. Anybody need some help in this place? Now let me ask another question. Anybody need some help right now? Okay, now let me ask another question. Anybody need some help like yesterday? Okay, some of you guys are in that category too. Well, we got some help right now. Help for today, and we find out about it in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 1 and 2. Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's writing the church of Corinth, but really the Holy Spirit speaking to us today. So let's hear what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1 and 2 says this. Says, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Verse number 2, for, he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. And he goes on in verse number 2 to say this. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, I've probably read that little passage of those two little verses hundreds of times, if not thousands, over my time as a Christian. And each time I've read that, I've thought, that's a great little verse about salvation. It talks about grace, it talks about salvation, and that's just awesome. And then I've moved on and read the rest of the chapter. And yet, as I was preparing, I really felt like the Lord was directing me to this section, to these two little verses, these two power-packed little verses, and God gave me new eyes to see something that I'd never seen before that I'm going to share with you tonight. Let's take a look at it again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. We then as workers together with him also. Now stop right there. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Okay, we know that Paul is writing this epistle and he's got some friends with him. He's probably got somebody that's writing for him as he speaks under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so he says, we then. So who's we? It's Paul and his companions. He says, we then as workers together with him, capital H. So he says that he's not in this alone. Not only does he have this group of people with him, but also with him, the Holy Spirit. God himself is saying something to us. And he says, with him also plead with you. We plead with you. So Paul is saying, it's not just me asking you to do something. It's not just me and my friends asking you to do something. It's not just the church here on earth asking you to do something, because that's one thing. But it's a whole other thing when God gets involved and when God starts asking you to do something. Now, I know that if God walked into this room right now, we would all recognize him because he is God. God walked into this room and he stopped and he went over to your seat, wherever you're at. And he looked right at you. You're sitting there and you're kind of shaking because the glory of the Lord is all around you. The presence of God, the power of God, you're almost passing out, but he gives you strength to remain while he's staring at you, the eyes of fire are just peering right into your soul, and he says, I want to ask you to do something for me. We all in a stammering voice and shivering and shaking, we say, yes, sir. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it, right? How many of you would do that? I know I would. And so tonight, why is it any different when the word of God comes forth? And when we read the Bible and we find out, we then as workers together with him also plead with you. God is asking us to do something. Now the question is, what does he want from us? Here's what he wants. He says, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now we have a definition of grace here at this church. How many of you can recite it with me? Grace is God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it, right? Let's try that again. We'll say when I can't do it, all right? Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on my behalf when I can't do it. Okay, so that means that when you don't have the power, the strength, the wisdom, the understanding, the resources, the capacity to do something, that grace comes in and gives you the sovereign divine ability of God on your behalf to get the job done when you couldn't have done it otherwise. So you put in your natural part, God puts in his super part, and you get a supernatural experience. You get the grace-empowered life. Stuff starts happening that couldn't have happened, that the world looks at it and says it shouldn't have happened. And so we have this ability, the grace of God. The Bible says that the grace of God comes abounding towards us, that God is able to make it abound towards us. Can you imagine yourself running through Africa like Dr. Becker when he was a child, right? Running through Africa, and here comes a lion up behind you, and it is abounding towards you. Grace is abounding towards the church. God has the ability to make it abound towards us and to come after us, to overtake us, to overwhelm us, the grace of God. And yet, the Holy Spirit is asking us something tonight. He says, I want you to not receive this ability, this grace, in vain. Let's read on. Verse number 2 starts with a little three-letter word, for. Or in other words, because of what I just finished saying, I don't want you to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, so Paul is saying to us, and the Holy Spirit is really saying to us, listen up, church. I don't want you to receive the grace of God in vain because of something. Why? For he says, verse number 2, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Now, if you have a Bible that, you know, takes it out and kind of puts it in poetic form or separates it, it's easy for us in our mind to take that little chunk of Scripture and to set it aside. Say, that's a nice little section of Scripture from somewhere else in the Bible, but what does it really mean? And we leave that question over there. Wherever over there is, I don't know. On a shelf, the recesses of our mind, the back burner. But what is he saying? In an acceptable time, I have heard you. Well, if you're in need of help, you want God to help you, and you cry out to God, and you wonder if God has heard your prayers. In a time of need, and you need the strength of God, you need the help of God, you need the wisdom of God, you need the resources of God, you've called out and you've done your part, and you wonder if help is coming. Well, what does he say? He says, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. The problem with us is we don't know if it's the acceptable time, and we don't understand whether or not it's the day of salvation or not. And yet, how many of you in this room would say that you're saved? Right? There was a day that you got saved, right? A day you gave your heart to the Lord. I can remember being a 15-year-old and sitting at home, and my brother just came back from a missions trip, shared with me how he shared the gospel overseas. And I realized something that night. I woke up empty. And I thought, my goodness, I want what he has. Everything that I've put up out there, I was a church kid, grew up in church. I was leading praise and worship at my youth group. And yet I was empty on the inside because I had not received salvation. I had never asked Jesus to come into my heart, to save my soul, to forgive me of my sin, to make me brand new. That night I prayed and everything became brand new. That was the day of salvation. Woke up the next morning, everything changed. It was like the sun just sparkled brighter. The birds chirping was like a melody. It was like I was walking across my house, floating on air. Something changed on the inside of me. What happened? What happened was I received Jesus on the inside. Now I was saved. It was the day of salvation for me, and God imparted something to me. Now think about that for yourself. There was a day, there was a point that you said yes to Jesus. Now if you haven't, we'll take care of that later on. But he says, in the day of salvation, I have, past tense, helped you. So what does that mean? That means that when you got saved, you got the help of God. Now what are we talking about here? We're talking about not receiving the grace of God in vain, right? Help for today. In an acceptable day, I've heard you. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. Now, remember, a lot of times we read that and we set it off to the side. And yet, verse number 2 continues on. Let's read the rest of the verse. Behold, or look and see. Open your eyes. Wake up. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What is he saying? If now is the acceptable time, that means that when you cry out to God, that God has heard you. Now is the day of salvation. What does that mean? That means that today God has, past tense, helped you. A couple of you guys are getting this. The rest of you hold on because we're going to get you there. When you were born again, when you received Jesus, when you were saved, there was something that happened. You were born again. You were born brand new. And now you have access to God. But the Bible says that you have to, number one, believe. There has to be faith involved, because if you're going to come to God, you got to believe that he is. But that access, the Bible tells us, is by grace. And now we've been given grace. And yet, some of us, even myself at times, have not used the grace that we have. And yet we cry out to God, we wonder why things aren't happening, we're trying to make them happen ourselves, and yet we come up insufficient. And we call out to God and say, why hasn't he heard me? And yet God is saying, don't receive the grace of God in vain. I've heard you and I've helped you. You've got it, and now you just got to put it into your life. Now I'm going to teach you something tonight, okay? I'm going to teach you how to tap into this grace. I'm going to teach you how not to receive the grace of God in vain. Anybody want to find out about that? Because some of you guys in this place need some help, right? I know I need some help. So if I need help, I know you need help. So tonight, how to get help. Three simple things that I found in just these two verses. Two little verses. How to get help. You ready? Okay, three of you are. That's great. Let's try that again. Are you ready?
Yes.
There you are. Number one, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. God has given us grace, and yet if we ignore it, it's not going to do us any good. Think about that for a second. If you ignore the thing that God has given you, what good is that doing you in your life? Might as well get rid of it if you're not going to use it. And yet, the Holy Spirit is crying out and pleading with his church and saying, church, wake up, realize that you have the grace that's available to you. But don't ignore it. I remember a story heard a long time ago. I think I've used it. So if you've heard it, act like it's the first time. But it's about a guy, and he was living in this small town down by a river, and there was a big rainstorm that came along, and there was a flood. The water started flooding into the town. This man is watching the news, and he cries out to God. He says, God, I want you to save me from this flood. Right at that moment, there's a knock at the door. So he runs to the door, he opens it up, and a guy's standing there in full rain slicker, and he's got a Jeep, and he says, hey, I want you to come with me. This whole place is flooding. I need you to get in the Jeep, you know, get whatever things you can in a couple of minutes here, because we got to go. The flood is rising. And the guy says, no, God is going to help me. God's going to deliver me. The guy in the Jeep says, man, you're crazy. Listen, I've got all your neighbors to get to, so you know what? You need to get out of here on your own time then. So he jumps in his Jeep, and he drives off. Water starts rising, rises up to about this guy's waist level, and the guy's waiting around his house, you know, kind of walking around, and next thing you know, there's a knock on the door again. There it is again. He pushes the door open and looks up, and there's a boat. The guy in the boat says, hey, man, you need to get in this boat. We got to get out of here. These floodwaters are rising. I mean, this is probably your last chance to get out of here. Come on, jump in the boat. The guy says, no, God's going to deliver me. The guy says, you're crazy. I'm going to get out of here and see if I can help anybody else. So he zooms out of there. Floodwaters keep rising. The guy comes out of his house and goes up, and he's on top of his roof. The floodwaters arise and he gets up on his chimney. He's standing on his chimney and he's up to his ankles in water. A helicopter comes. And they roll down this ladder and they say, "Get on, grab the ladder!" And the guy shouts back and he says, "No! God will deliver me!" So the helicopter says, "You're crazy!" So the floodwaters rise and the guy ends up going to be with the Lord. He gets into heaven and he says, "Lord, what happened? I prayed and I asked you to deliver me and you didn't do it." And he says, "Yes, I did." He says, "I sent a jeep, I sent a boat, and I sent a helicopter. You're crazy!" See, we can't ignore the grace of God that he's already given to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1, when he says, "We plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Those little two words, "in vain," there, if you look it up and you find out what it means, one of the meanings of it is without a gift. Without a gift. And yet the Bible says that grace is a free gift that's given to us. And so if we receive the grace of God in vain, it's as if we're acting like we had no gift. Are you hearing this? Like a little kid on Christmas that got the greatest present that was ever given to him. He opens it up. He says, "Thank you very much." He sets it behind him and he turns around and pouts because he doesn't have anything to play with. That's the image that we get from the Word of God. That's what receiving the grace of God is in vain. Is acting like we don't have it at all. See, if you need help in this place, don't act like you don't have help. Sometimes we start bellyaching, we start pouting, we start having a pity party and sending out invitations in the mail. And we act like the whole world is stacked up against us. And yet, church, do you not have the free gift of grace? Have you not received the fullness of God inside of you? In the form of his son, Jesus Christ, how much more of a gift do you need? Don't act like you don't have it. It's time to start changing the way we talk. You know, I get mad when people talk about gifts that I've given them like they're nothing. You know what I'm talking about. You know, I know re-gifting has been a laughing stock, but really, if you gave somebody a gift and they re-gift it, that could hurt your heart. Now think about how God feels when we turn our back on the grace of God that he's gifted to us freely. And yet we turn our back on it. You're there in 2 Corinthians. Hold your finger there. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If we're not going to ignore this gift, how should we look? Let's take a look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 10. This is how the church should look with the gift of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10 says this. It says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And Popeye added, "And that's what I am." Look at this. "And his grace toward me was not in vain." It wasn't empty. It wasn't a gift that I ignored. He says, "But I labored," how? "More abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace which was with me." See, he says that the grace of God that he received was not in vain. It means that he didn't ignore it. And the fact that he knew that he had grace, the fact that he knew that he had ability, meant that he labored all the more. Why? Because God's power is limitless. Why? Because God's resources are limitless. Why? Because God's wisdom is beyond our understanding. Why? Because God's supply never runs dry. Come on, church. Come on, somebody. Paul says that he labored more abundantly because he realized that grace was in his life. He realized he had a gift. He realized God gave him something, gave him the power supply that never runs dry. Gave him the help that he needs, and so he worked harder. He didn't just coast. He didn't just say, oh, grace is going to take care of it. Someday in the sweet by and by, grace is going to carry me up. No. He says, I worked harder. I worked longer. I worked faster. I worked wiser. Why? Because he had the grace of God, the ability of God on the inside of him to get the job done. Do you think that Paul by himself could reach the entire Gentile world? And yet that was the calling that he has. Why? Because God had called him to do it and gave him the ability to do it by his grace. So Paul says that he worked harder. Paul says, I didn't receive it in vain. I realized, recognized what it was, and I paid attention. I looked at it, gave attention to it, didn't neglect it. He went after it. That's why he writes to Timothy, and he tells Timothy, he says, I want you to stir up the gift of God on the inside of you, which was given to you. Stir it up, Timothy. Stir it up. You're not going to get the job done. You're not going to get the assignment completed. You're not going to fight the good fight of faith unless you stir it up. What does that mean? Give attention to it. We're making dinner tonight. Here's some heat on the bottom of some noodles. We stirred it up. Why? We were giving attention to it. We were making sure it didn't just sit there and burn and turn into something that was useless in our lives. Don't let the grace of God be something like that in your life. Receive the gift, pay attention to it, don't ignore it, and don't neglect it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. How to get help? Number one is don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. When the floodwaters start rising, jump in the Jeep. Don't ignore it. Number two is ask. Ask. It's so simple to ask, and yet it's oftentimes the last thing that we do. Anybody other than Pastor Dan can say amen to that? Okay, good. I'm glad. The rest of y'all, not so sure about. I oftentimes find myself in the middle of a problem going, all right, how am I going to do this? God, how am I going to do this? And God says, you're not going to do it. And it takes me a moment because I'm that type of a guy that I need a little bit more time. Figure some things out. God says, just ask me, son. Just ask me. Just ask me. I got three kids at home under the age of five. I get asked for stuff all the time. It doesn't matter what hour of the night it is, I get asked for something. Daddy, will you come sleep in my bed? Daddy, you know, I mean, just craziness all the time. I'm always getting asked for something. And yet there's sometimes where my kids are, you know, trying to exert some independence or something like that. And I see them with like the grappling hooks up to the top upper cabinets, you know, and they've got like this great expedition of chairs and things like that going on so that they can reach the top cabinet where the vitamins are, you know, or something. I don't know. It's like they get it in their mind that I'm going to do this. We're going all the way. And they conspire together, and you hear them in the kitchen because we have these tile floors, and when they move the chairs across them, it's like, you know, the nails on the chalkboard sound. Okay, so there's no, you know, wondering what they're doing in the kitchen. They're moving a chair. And so I see them, you know, and it's like Mount Everest. They're climbing up, you know, and their legs are on the side, and they've got the little finger, the two finger, you know, knuckle grip on the countertop, and they're getting up there and they're climbing up. And oftentimes I'll wait just to see what's going to go down, you know, because it's just starting to get interesting. See, and right about when they get to that point where they get their feet planted, you know, and I'm waiting for the flag to come out and they're going to put it down or something. And they open the cabinet and they go to reach. I grab them. Bam! What are you doing? You know, just to put a little fear of God in them. You know, like, ugh. Sorry if you think that's cruel. I'm sorry. My kids are wonderful. They love me. I love them. I would never hurt them. Okay. But I say, why didn't you just ask? Why didn't you just ask? Your dad is 6 foot tall. I can reach those. No chairs, no nails on the chalkboard sound, no huffing and puffing. Look at you, you're all sweaty. You know, I could have just ran and got that, and you can't even pop the top off anyway. You're going to come and ask me to unscrew the lid anyways. You know? And I wonder what God thinks sometimes when he looks at our efforts in the flesh. I wonder how long God watches us climbing our Mount Everest. I wonder where God takes a look and says, that's interesting. And unlike me, sometimes God lets us get up there and grab the bottle. Because I think he wants us to ask. I think God wants us to come to him. I think God wants to be involved in our lives. I think God wants to camp out and be a part of what's going on. I think God wants to be intimately involved in every little aspect and detail of our lives. And so God says, child, I want you to ask me. Just ask me. Just come to me. Bring it to me. You know, we get the thought in our head that God knows what we're going to ask before we even ask it. Yes, he does, but he still wants you to ask. He still wants relationship. Yes, God can see the circumstances surrounding you. He can see the motives. He can even see the answer and the solution for your problem. And he knows how he can get the help to you and take care of the situation. But he wants relationship. God wants to be involved in your life. God wants you to come to him as his kids and to ask him for things at any time of night, I might add. Psalm chapter 32, verse number 6. It's a great verse. And actually, if you want to read verse 7 on your own time, go for it. But Psalm chapter 32, verse number 6, very appropriate after that little joke we talked about earlier about the guy in the flood. Psalm chapter 32, verse 6, for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. Do we have any godly people in the house tonight? Okay, so for this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you. Look at this. In a time when you may be found. Can I ask you, is today the time when he may be found? Is today the day that he's heard us? Is this the acceptable day of the Lord? See, in an acceptable time, God says, I've heard you. And so for this cause, those that are godly shall pray to you in such a time when you may be found. Look at this. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. They shall not come near him. What is the flood that's coming against you? What's the thing that's rising against you? And yet you shall pray to God, ask him. And he says, those waters will not come near you. Why? Because he has heard your prayer. Your prayers aren't bouncing off the roof. Your prayers don't stay in the four walls where you pray them. Your prayers go directly to the throne of God. God has heard you. The moment it comes off your lips, he sends an answer. This is what the book of Daniel tells us. The moment that Daniel applied his heart to understanding, the angel says, I was sent. How to get help. Number one, don't ignore it. Number two, ask. Is this helping anybody tonight? Yes. Number three, here we go. Look for God's grace. Look for God's grace. Now, when I say look, I mean expect, I mean work at, I mean go for it, I mean go with God, vaya con Dios. Some of you didn't know that you came to La Roca tonight. Look for God's grace. The Bible tells us that when we ask and doubt, we should expect nothing from the Lord. That's what it says in the book of James. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God, who gives liberally to all, will give you the wisdom that you need. And yet, if you doubt in your heart, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord, the Bible says. Because he who doubts is like a wave tossed to and fro by the wind. See, if we believe this, if we believe what the Bible says, if we believe that we've been given a gift, then when we ask, we should be looking for the answer because God has heard our prayer and he has helped us. That's why Paul says, I worked harder. Why? Because when he asked for help, God gave him grace. He saw it. He didn't ignore it. He asked for it and then he went to work with it. You and I need to be looking for God's grace. Looking for it. Expecting it. Working hard and just, there it is. There it is, God. Thank you. thanking Him for it in advance, even before you get it. Why? Because it's on its way. You say, Pastor Dan, but I don't feel like it's on its way. When does your feelings have anything to do with what God is doing? Come on. It's nice to have feelings, and feelings help us. Feelings can be used for good, but also feelings can trip us out. And you got to be careful that you don't allow feelings to move you. You allow faith in God's word to move you. Hello? Expect the result based on faith in God's word. Matthew chapter 7. This is a good scripture. Check this out. Matthew chapter 7. Very familiar scripture, but I want you to take a look at a different emphasis on this word. A lot of times when we read Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7, there's three words that we cue in on because it applies to point number 2 tonight. Ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. But we're going to take a look at a different emphasis from this verse tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask, and look at this, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. I don't know. Something about that sounds a lot like a promise to me. And in my Bible, I got it in red letters. That means that Jesus was speaking. Did you know the Bible says that it's impossible for God to lie? Because He would cease being God. At that moment, He would forfeit His throne. So if God says something, if He speaks something, that means that God is ready, willing, and has the resources to back it up. You should have been a little bit more excited about that. Here's why. Because when you ask, the Bible says it will be given to you. Question number one is, are you asking? Question number two is, what is it? Because you're going to get it when you ask. Second thing is, seek. Look for it. Go out. Do something. Get moving. Don't just sit there. If you're asking for a job, don't expect somebody to come knocking on the door. You got to go seek that job. You got to go seek that employment. You got to put yourself out there. Don't just ask for a job. Say, okay, it will be given to me. Who's going to give it to me, God? God says, go seek it out. Go seek it out. Look at this. Knock, and it will be open to you. Ask, seek, and knock, and something is going to happen. If you need help, ask for help. If you need help, seek it out. Go out there. Work, just like Paul says, the grace of God, I didn't receive it in vain. I worked more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God in me. What was he doing? He was seeking. He was going for it. This door was closed here, so we went there. Satan stopped us here, so we went there. Holy Spirit called us over here. I had a dream in the middle of the night. Man from Macedonia, we're going to go over there. What was he doing? He was seeking. He was knocking. He says, a great and effectual door has been opened to me to preach the gospel. See, Paul was going after it. He didn't just sit there and say, oh, okay, I've got this great call of God, got knocked off my horse. Now here I am, and God, you just bring it. Dump it out on me, Lord. No, he went after it. He went after it. So much so that he would willingly go into bondage, into prison, into chains, so that he could go preach the gospel in Rome. And he wasn't just preaching to anybody. He says, I'm going to go to Caesar. I'm going to go to the head honcho of the whole place. Bring me to the man in charge because I'm going to preach the gospel to him. See, what was he doing? He was going after his calling. You and I, if we need help, we don't need to just sit there, wonder where's it coming, and wait for dewdrops from heaven to fall out of the sky. Listen, even if they did fall, you're probably sitting on your couch watching TV. And you're going to wonder, rain in July? One more verse tonight, Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, we're going to end with this. Sometimes I have people ask me in the foyer as they exit, they say, I need to get a meeting with you. I need to get an appointment with you. I need to talk to you. I get a lot of people asking me, I need to talk to Pastor Jim. I need to sit down with a pastor. I need to sit down with something. That's fine. We'll do that. That's okay. But what if you could have an appointment with God? What if you could have a personal counseling session where God came in and sat down in front of you and said, all right. Now, a lot of times we'd mess it up because we'd start talking. We start asking questions. God's a gentleman. He's not rude. He's not going to speak out of turn. And he's going to wait. But the Bible says when you come into the house of God, come near to listen. You have 9 services a week at this church where you have an appointment to sit down with the Holy Spirit. Find out what God has to say to you. Tonight, whatever your situation is, wherever you're at, God's about to drop a counseling session right in your lap right now. Are you ready? Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10. This is what God would say to you. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10 says this. It says, fear not, for I am with you. God says, don't be afraid. I'm right here with you. I'm in the middle of your situation. Don't be afraid. Second thing, be not dismayed, for I am your God. He says, don't be discouraged. Don't get depressed. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. Look at this. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Somebody cried out to God and said, God, will you help me? You just got an answer right now. The Holy Spirit just spoke to you and said, yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I don't think I need to say any more. You've got 5 promises in 1 verse from God. That was the best counseling session you've ever had in your life. Thank you, Lord. 3 things. 3 things tonight. Let's review real quick. Help for today. How to get help. Number 1, don't ignore it. Don't ignore the gift. God has given you a gift. Don't turn your back on it. Don't pout that you don't have it. Don't act like it's not effective in your life. Use that gift. Don't ignore it. 2nd thing is ask. Ask for help. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for strength. Ask God to comfort you when you're crying, holding your pillow at night. Ask God to come and just hold you and to comfort you. Ask God for the wisdom that you need on the job and the strength that you need, the endurance and the perseverance to go through with it. Ask. And then finally, look for it. Look for God's grace. And when I say look, remember, I don't mean just sit there and with like the binoculars looking out from afar. No. Get out there. Work hard at it. Go for it. Do something with it, saints, because the grace of God is coming after you. It's coming at you, and it's going to get the job done in your life. You got something for the Lord? Let's give him a great big praise tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God.